And there I have the well as he washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away.
Welcome back to Famcast.
Juan was like, let me buy another Bible.
All right. Critical thinking is down.
Yep.
Cancel culture.
Oh, bang.
That better be an original copy, like written in Hebrew. Signed by the Lord himself.
I'm gonna whip you. Oh, according to whose standard?
At the end of the day, your children are your legacy. That's what's gonna live on you.
People will like say, like, man, those kids are brainwashed. And
I mean, everybody. I don't know who said this, but everybody's being discipled at all times. Who you're being discipled by?
What's crack-a-lack-a-lackin'? Welcome back to season 3, episode 7. But today we have part number 3 for the Out of the Cave episode. So, just the guys today, who I got with me?
Got Christian.
Usually I go with my full name, and that usually isn't a good idea. So this time I cut it.
Okay.
Look at me go.
Junior.
All right.
And got me, Juan. You already know. But we also got some guests here in the studio, I guess you could say.
What?
Play a partner. Who is you?
So over here to my left, I got...
Hey, man, it's TWP from the OBC.
There you go,
Trevor.
OBC, what's that?
Oak Cliff Baptist Church, man.
Hey,
okay. Clap it up. Hold on.
And to his left,
Johnny,
seminarian.
Hey. Seminarian. What does that mean?
That sounds like I go to get taught scripture.
Ooh, I do that too, and I go to church.
Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, man. Oh, now he's talking trash, bro.
It's fine. Man. It's all good.
Hey, clap it up. No,
wait, clap it up.
Not with that in the background. That's like the most.
Right. I like Are you saying it's not manly?
Yes. Bro.
Having kids ain't manly?
No. I'm saying kids aren't manly.
gotcha, man. Hey, we're getting together today to do kind of like a post. You know, in the military, we would call it a
debrief.
Debrief. That's right. Right. Kind of like a lessons learned. What went good? What went bad? What can we learn from and all that kind of stuff? So we went up to a pride parade in the state to do some street evangelism. We had the privilege to go up with a bunch of other brothers from around the state, actually. And that actually came about kind of from Johnny's area, right? How did that even come about, man?
Well, it's interesting because last year, went out there with another brother of mine and met up with a couple of brothers. They are seminarians. They are evangelists. And whenever Roe v. Wade was overturned, you know, the Planned Parenthood was kind of shut down here in Arkansas where they were performing physical abortions. So that ministry kind of faded out, but they were still doing ministry, but the ministry kind of shifted.
So it all started there.
It started there.
That was the first time everyone got together. Was that Little Rock event?
At Little Rock, yes, sir. Yeah, so after that, they saw that there was an event going on in Fayetteville, which was the Pride Parade. Mm. Now, they've been having these Pride Parades for years and years and years, but it almost seems like something happened last year because of the overturning that, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff happening all at once, really. Mm. So it was an interesting sight last year because there was about, no lie, there was probably about 30,000 people.
How many of y'all went last year?
Bro, it was only like 5 or 6 of us. Mm.
So 5 or 6 out of 30 plus thousand.
Right. There was a few other brothers too from like Russellville. But other than that, yeah, it was pretty much us most of the day out there.
And Trevor, we kind of heard about it at the same time, but I didn't mention anything. You kind of brought it up to like our area. How'd you find out? From Johnny?
I found out from Johnny. He just sent me a text with like a flyer that they had made.
And then, you did send that. That's right.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, shoot, let me pass this on to the whole church. See who all wants to go.
You did go up there and kind of, I think you talked to Pastor, and then Pastor was like, yeah, man, come up and do an invitation. And I think you did a good job, man, because you made it a point to say like, this ain't for everyone.
Why is that the case?
Why is it the case that it's not for everybody?
Yeah.
I guess just because of the environment. More or less because, man, these brothers, you know what I'm saying, you can't see me, but tapping Johnny on the shoulder. Since they went the year previous and kind of paved the way, they gained a lot of wisdom from that first outing. Matter of fact, he came to my Sunday school class like the week after they did it, the year before, and showed me the videos and everything. So I already had an idea of what it was going to be like.
Yeah.
And just seeing the videos, seeing the reaction that people got. And also, whenever Johnny sent me the flyer, I called the brother that was kind of organizing it. And he was the one that kind of relayed like, hey, this is how it went down last year. It's very hostile. It's a dangerous environment. Like whoever goes needs to count the cost. These are my recommendations for the type of people that shouldn't go. And so really, I just passed that along, what I gained from him and from the brothers that had already gone.
So just to kind of add on to that, or just to get more insight for our listeners, Johnny, you being one of the people that actually went last year, for most people maybe that are listening to this that are not believers, they're like, how can it be hostile? How would you describe how it was last year? Like,
because there was a difference, right?
Yeah.
From last year to this year, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, man, how do I put this for the unbelievers that are listening in? Because the only way I could explain it is when you take away someone's altar of sacrifice, they're mad. They're upset. They can't do their sacrifices anymore. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, this event was a different type of event. Because not only is it just the LGBTQ people out there, but there were Satanists out there.
Mm-hmm.
There were those who were very pro.
Are you talking about the last abortion, Pride Parade?
Last Pride Parade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was like all kinds of people, not just the LGBT. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all lumped up with, you know, that letter A, the allies, they're known as, right? And that's almost a very broad brush of just anybody who is either in support of them or.
That ally thing, man. That's, I mean, an ally to what?
To their ideology.
I mean, right, to the plus. That's why I think it is. I think this is why a lot of people kind of struggle with partaking of this type of ministry, because it's so easy to get in your flesh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much just to explain like the difference. Like I said, there was about 30,000 people last year, and this year it almost seems like it was half of that. There was something happening. Like in our eyes as Christians, we see this as a praise God moment. We want little to no, we want nobody celebrating pride, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture tells us that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble.
You think one day there'll be more Christians than paraders out there?
I believe so.
That post mill.
I was like post mill.
I mean, from last year to this year, there was one there.
I guess we'll find out next year, see what it looks like.
Hey, right. Hey, you know what was wild? Speaking to there being less people, I found this on our local news, and I had sent it to Vic. The Human Rights Campaign this year had declared a state of emergency for LGBTQ+ Americans. And so they reported saying that they may have been hesitant to gather this year because of that.
Interesting.
That was our local, like, five news.
Wow.
And what's wild is if you watch the videos, like, they were trying to portray it as, like, yeah, it wasn't safe. And then they interviewed, like, you know, Fayetteville PD, and they were just like, yeah, we're just worried about the heat. We haven't received one threat.
So something that I did notice from the video, because I remember before we actually went to the parade, you know, we invited you over to kind of watch some of the videos, and I mean, it got pretty intense out there, especially when it is that one of the brothers actually finally got up and started to actually like open air preach. How would you describe that moment?
A lot of emotions, but it was almost expecting. Because once you start proclaiming the word of God to people who believe they are right, you know, they start pushing back, saying, who are you to tell me? But what's interesting is this isn't the preacher's message. This is God's message, and the preacher is only the mouthpiece.
Mm.
So that is where their anger should be directed to, and it is. It's evident that they are mad, not at us, but at God.
Bringing it back to this year, right? So this year, so those were all lessons learned from last year. You've seen how kind of crazy it can get. But you did see that you must, everybody that went last year must have thought this is a good place to come and minister, right?
Right.
Yeah, because y'all wanted to go again.
Yeah, because something happened that last year that caused y'all to be like, we need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing it back to this year, the brothers that kind of led it up, they did a really good job, bro, of kind of like saying, look, this is kind of what we want to do. But this isn't like a schedule that we have to stick to. We got to stay flexible and all that. And because it wasn't a church event. It was just people from different churches getting together.
Right.
So they wanted to leave some leeway, which I thought was good. But there was like some sort of structure to where it was like, we're going to take the first half of the day to try to talk to people one-on-one type of thing. And then we went and did some hymn singing. And then there was open air preaching. And I thought that was like super dope. But when there was a variety, like I even took my boys, right? So somebody came up to me and asked me, like, how did you feel bringing your boys out? Like, did you expect, you know, for it to get crazy, or like what made you bring them type of question? You know, do you think it's is it a safe place to go to minister, or is it really like that crazy? What do y'all think, man? Because I'm gonna be honest. It wasn't as wild as maybe we had it calmer here in Arkansas. But some of the videos that I've seen afterwards are like places like in New York and like on the West Coast. Like, I mean, we've seen the dudes running around like fully naked.
There was a little bit of that, honestly.
Did you?
Not necessarily, but I did see a guy like in a full on, like basically just covering himself.
Wow.
You know, like in that part.
I mean, is it really that dangerous other than the visual stuff?
What was, like I said, it goes back to what happened with Roe v. Wade. I truly believe there was something there that. It was still
talking about the year so before.
The year before, compared to this year, there was a difference,
bro. There. I was not making that connection. I see what you're saying now. You're saying last year it was crazier because that overturning was fresh.
It was so fresh.
Oh,
so go now ahead, you yeah. got a mass of people protesting against the overturning of.
It wasn't just LGBT stuff last year. It was that plus.
You could say.
Mm-hmm. I don't. Me personally, I never really felt unsafe at any point. To kind of address the bigger issue, because I know a lot of people, not a lot, but some brothers would kind of just be opposed to going to an environment like that, period. On one sense, I can see it because it's a conviction issue where you just don't want to see and be exposed to that type of stuff. And that, amen, 100%. Like, that's cool. On the other hand, I know there's some brothers that kind of look at it as like, oh, don't cast your pearls before swine. But I think, like, you can apply that individually, but I don't think you can categorize an entire group of unbelievers that. And here's why. The gospel went to the Jews first, right? And the Jews killed Jesus. So if you're ever going to categorize a whole people group as like, oh man, there's no way these people are going to believe, it would have been the first people the gospel went to. But first people the gospel went to were the people that rejected their own Messiah and crucified him, right? And, you know, Paul, Peter, everybody, you know, they were preaching to the Jews. Paul went to the synagogues. There were riots in the city from the proclamation of the gospel. So there's always, in any environment that's like openly anti-God, right? There's always there should be an expectation of resistance, hostility. But yeah. Other than that, I never felt in danger at any time during the whole time we were there.
Not going to lie, some sense of me did feel a little bit nervous because of the videos that I saw that you had shared with us, Johnny, because, I mean, it's crazy how, like, kind of like you said, as soon as he stood up and just started preaching from the word, everyone like in the video stopped, turned their direction, and just started throwing out, like, you know, hateful words and stuff. Like, they just crowded you guys. And I think what's
from last year.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so beautiful because, like, regardless of that, y'all were still faithful. Y'all were doing your best to just keep them safe, you know, but there's people throwing water at y'all and stuff. I mean, it's not terrible, but I guess for us, like, we have it easier than other brothers and sisters, you know, around the world that, you know, they could, you know, be persecuted. Whereas I think one brother in one of our Sunday schools probably best describes it. We're just
people are just going to be mean to you.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll just be mean to you and stuff. But it's I guess that's stuff that you're not. I mean, I've never been used to that, you know.
And something, bro, something you can't deny is mob mentality, man.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like it being dangerous, you know, I seen another video when we came back of this one guy who went to a pride parade. I don't know if y'all seen it, but he's sitting on the floor with his Bible and he's like surrounded by a bunch of people. It seemed like a scene from like a movie when people are being tormented by demons type of thing. Mm-hmm. To where he's like on the floor trying to read his Bible and there's like a crowd around him. And I'm like, why is he there by himself?
Yeah.
Like, that's not wise. And us going with such
even
a
Jesus
big,
sent the disciples out two by two.
Facts. And I don't know if y'all, I don't think we got a chance to watch these videos that we recorded from this year, but there's a video where my man was preaching and Junior, you were standing behind him and some dude ran up on him and Junior was able to catch him coming up from the side and Junior just like got in the way and
homeboy dude just turns around.
Turn around. Bam.
Yeah.
And like how helpful it is just to have
other brothers. Yeah.
Even if somebody's not called to open or preach, like maybe that's not your calling, but you do want to serve. Like that's, bro, without you being there, Junior, like that could have gone sideways.
There's also the brothers that were
in the van. While we were out there giving tracks and evangelizing, there was a brother going around in a van with waters and Gatorades and sandwiches. And MVP. Oh my goodness, he saved our butt.
Shout out.
He was the GOAT. We were like so tired and sometimes, and it's just like, ooh.
That was awesome. Yeah. Hit that applause button. Hit that applause button. Yeah. One time for Steven.
That's what I was I don't have the I gotta switch. It's on the wrong bank. Yeah.
hey, just to say something though, those sandwiches would not exist if it weren't for the women that helped out.
Facts.
Yeah.
Just to piggyback on Trevor talking about laying out who should be there, who should be advised not to go.
Yeah.
Out of wisdom, but at the same time, where there was a lot of women who wanted to help out in one way or another.
Yeah.
By all means, help us out. And my mind was going to, well, how will we have the strength to go out there if we're not fed? You know, the idea of providing food or water.
Yeah.
Or even prayer.
Yeah, bro. So many people texted me they were praying for me.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From all over, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had our wives here just, you know, gathered, praying, you know, together as well. So it was a blessing.
Yeah, man.
I think that was the coolest thing for me to see to like take a bigger step back to think of y'all brothers last year when it was so hostile. There were so few of y'all, but y'all were still out there being faithful. And then I look at everything that happened this year, all of it, the totality of it. So everybody, like the body working together, all these different churches, right? People praying for one another, lifting one another up, people ministering with food, you know, everybody sharing the gospel. And I'm like, bro, that wasn't all a result of that one simple act of obedience, right? And at the time, like if you look at those videos, it doesn't look like that's very fruitful, right? Mm-hmm. But look at what God did a year later. Look at all the fruit from that.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's the long game.
So it's encouraging for like looking forward, you know?
Especially when you stop and consider, man, like is one soul being snatched from the fires of hell worth all that?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I think you said something about like, somebody in this parade is God's or something like that.
Yeah, it has to be. There's just looking at the sheer numbers, bro, there's no way you can't convince me otherwise that there's not somebody that's one of God's elect out there. They're going to come to faith. Maybe they didn't come to faith that day, but they will eventually.
Yeah.
I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going out there. Mm-hmm. To plant that seed. It's not up to us to grow.
Yeah.
To grow that.
That's what we were reading in Sunday school today, the divisions among the churches in Corinth. Mm-hmm. And like Paul planted, Cephas sowed, but like God provided the growth. And essentially God gave you the water, God gave you the seed, God put you there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fire, man.
Yeah.
If somebody were to be hearing this and be motivated to say, you know what, man, I think next time there's an opportunity I want to go. What are some things y'all would advise after having gone up to such a hostile thing?
You want to do a round table? Just go on a circle.
Yeah. Why don't you start?
So I would say the biggest thing is prayer, you know, beforehand, preparation, a good self-examination, because I think that was one thing for myself that I really had to do, because when it was brought up, I remember you mentioned it to me and I was just like, my first thought was, I don't think I should go, because immediately I just came like furious, because it's just like, I feel like I would get so upset by the things that I'm going to see, or even if like, you know, just watching the video of what happened last year, you know, with just someone throwing water on them, it made me so mad that I was like, man, if I was there, I would have probably started swinging. But then it was you that brought it up. That's like, no, that's not the godly thing to do. By all means, we want to protect our brothers and sisters, but how bad would it look if, you know, I start swinging, the next thing you notice, you know, see in posts, you know, Christian fights, you know, attacks at Pride Parade, you know? So it really did require me to be like, I want to be able to be somehow faithful and serving in this, but how? And so it really did require me to pray for at least a good week or two, you know, consider it. And eventually I'm like, you know what? You know, I do want to go. You know, we really have to make sure that we are, you know, examining ourselves. Can I be a blessing, or can I be a curse to these brothers and sisters? And I think
that are going.
Exactly. Because
you don't want to be a stumbling block for everybody else.
Yeah. And I think the beauty of it was actually one brother who I mentioned it to, and I'm like, hey, are you going to go? And he told me, he's just like, I don't think so. And it's like, and he was honest. He's just like, I think I would be more of a stumbling block. I don't think I would be able to control myself, and it would be hard because, you know, I would have brothers and, you know, trying to keep an eye on me because of it. So like, you know, hey, praise God. You know, it's not a bad thing or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely considering your brother that's next to you and yourself as well.
So, that's dope, bro. Yeah. What about you, man?
So just things to consider from like the environment or just in general?
Just in general. In general, yeah. Man.
I think the biggest thing, at least just from the conversations I had, is that, man, just keep it gospel-centered. Right? Because I think, and it's good, but I got real caught up, especially because we were studying this in my Sunday school, of just thinking through all the arguments, passages that deal with homosexuality and like the twisting of those scriptures and having a rebuttal for them.
Yeah.
But all the conversations I had that went that route really just kind of didn't go nowhere until they got brought back to the gospel. Anyone that just stayed on like, hey, what do you think about Jesus? Like, what do you think is going to happen when you die? Like, if you stand before God and he asks you why he should let you into heaven, like, what would you say? Those were the most fruitful conversations I had, bro. And so it was like, bro, don't get caught up in all the weeds. And I think, I forgot who, it's probably Paul Washer, because if I'm not listening to Patrick Kane, I'm listening to Paul Washer. But I think it was. He was like, somebody asked him, how do you preach to, I don't remember who it is, let's say people in the South American jungle. He was like, I don't, I preach the sinners. And at the end of the day, like, different stuff, you got to be prepared a little bit, you know, to kind of answer those questions. But it's really just a,
that sounds like Paul Washer, bro.
Bro, it was really, at the end of the day, not that different than witnessing in any other environment.
That's good, bro. What's up, Johnny? What you think,
man? The desire is always good. It's always good if you have a desire to want to go minister. But one thing I would say is it's kind of like a two thing. I would ask the question, are you connected to a local church? Because when you go out there, you're going to be representing them.
Yeah.
And then two, does your pastor know? Because
bro, you should go to seminary, bro. That's such a theological answer.
I need the
answer,
soundboard,
bro.
I'll be dropping so much.
Yeah, because I do know there's a lot of people whose intentions are good.
Yeah.
Right. But then you start talking to them and you ask them where, you know, what church you go to.
Yeah.
They'll say, you know, they don't go to church.
What's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
You know, you ask them about their pastor and they're going to say someone like Craig Rochelle. Bro, he's pastor to like millions of people that he doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Because he preaches on a screen and it's viewed by all these other people. But who is your pastor?
Yeah.
So the local church is very important, and also your elders knowing that you're going to be going out there is very important too, because they're there to watch over you. And if they don't know that you're out there with the wolves, it kind of turns back on them and it makes the pastor look bad. And now him representing that church that he's connected to, if he doesn't tell them, it makes the church look bad. And now you gave your church a bad name.
Bro, that's such a great point, because it was so, I don't know about y'all, but there was something that was so, felt so right about like Brother Lindell praying for us right before we left.
So perfect. That was God's grace on us.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I was like,
his reassurance.
Perfect. Yeah. You know? So just our elders like having our back. You know?
Well, not even Brother Lindell, but even Brother Ken, like, cause in the Wednesday night studies and all, or the prayer night, he would definitely dedicate a good amount of time for us. Pray for that. Absolutely. Yeah. I would agree.
Praise God.
That's big. Yeah. It's a great point, brother.
What about you, Junior? You being, so, fresh, you know, with y'all being, still wet behind your ears. Is that something safe to say, or is that a bad thing to say?
Don't ask me, bro.
Wait, what does that mean? I don't even know
what that means. I don't have a political correct bone in my body, bro. Green. Y'all are green.
Did you lick his ear? What?
But, man, all right, so Junior and Christian, man, with y'all being so young, this is your first time going out. I know y'all were a little nervous at first. What did you learn from this, and what advice would you give to somebody going out?
I think one thing that I know I was scared of was that I wouldn't think of like the right thing to say. But as soon as the moment came, I mean, the Holy Spirit just flew out scripture. It's crazy how like I thought of the armor, the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah.
In the Bible. I always think of it as like a defensive weapon for us. Man, how like scripture is our foundation. For everything. Like I didn't like, I have a whole new like awe for scripture. I guess for me it was just be brave, and this is the time for us to act as the Lord has called us to.
That's good, bro. That's good. What about you, man? You're the youngest.
What you got, young buck?
One main thing, but at first there's the issue of safety that I was really concerned about, because I was like, man, it's kind of dangerous to go out here. But as the 2 days before, when we were doing the study with Emma, we were doing it on 1 John. And 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And we have a friend shared the term, instead of God's sovereignty, God's purposeful hand. He has us where we need to be. He has us, God's hand constantly hovering over us and hovering over everybody. So even if the worst case scenario, somebody pulls out a gun and shoots you there, I mean, hey, you're before the Lord in heaven, and that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That minus the safety part, I think my first time going, I had to keep in mind that I don't need to talk, not as in don't go out there and ask me. No, we need to be bold out there. But for me, I had like 2 one-on-one conversations, and the rest of it was listening and listening and learning. As somebody who is both young and young in his faith, there's the need to learn, like just listening to the conversations with Cody, who I was mainly sticking with, like helped me understand both how to present the gospel in a meaningful way to different groups of people, because we dealt with different groups of people. We had like Mormons out there. There were Satanists, atheists, agnostics. I mean, we ran into Hebrew Israelites.
Oh yeah, that was another wild
that
part.
That was another wild part.
We'll talk about that here in
and
a second.
It's good to just listen and learn before you speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's biblical. Yeah.
Bro, I got to give a shout out to you though. Because like one thing that I'll admit before this, I was actually a little nervous for you being your brother-in-law. I was even having conversations with Natalie. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't know how people felt about me taking my boys.
Man. Yeah. And it was just like, man, I feel scared for them both, because it's just like, I don't see y'all just as like, you know, other men's like, no, you guys are my brother-in-laws. Your protection is also something that I want to make sure is, you know, there. But it's crazy that I was telling Natalie this and she was trying to reassure me, like, you know, they know how to act in the right and stressful situations. Like, you know, my dad's trained them very well, you know, giving you credit. And I'm like, you know, I want to trust that. I want to. It's just I'm so nervous for them.
Yeah.
Sure enough, once we were open air preaching, and I think you said it best, you know, being able to just look block after block, or like, you know, just down the road or every corner, there was someone preaching the gospel. I look over and I see Christian over there in someone, like, not in a bad way, but in someone's face, like expressing emotion and what he was telling them. I'm like, yo, praise God. And I look over to my left, and there's, you know, there's Junior right there sitting down with, breaks my heart to see, but a girl claiming to be a guy.
Yeah.
Literally shirtless, and she had gone through surgery to remove her breast.
Yeah, top surgery.
Yeah, and he was engaged in that conversation. I'm like, praise God. Praise God for how it is that, you know, you guys were raised and knowing, you know, God's word, but also being able to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
So. Yeah, God. And to piggyback off that right before you go, Vic.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, like, it's also an encouragement, kind of what y'all said. Like, if you're going out there and you're brand new, man, just go, because you're going to be an encouragement to the brothers that you're with. You know what I mean? Like,
amen.
We were ministering to people, but we were also ministering to one another. Like, every time, even at the very beginning, when we were just walking the streets, anytime I'd see another group walking, I'd just get happy.
Yeah.
So it helped me in a dark environment just kind of pick up my spirit, man, and just stay uplifted the whole day.
Yeah.
Man, was it Cody or Juan who anytime walked up, hey, have you heard about this guy called Jesus? And then would hand them a gospel track.
A gospel track. The only encouragement I think I would add, amen to everything y'all said, but I would also just encourage everyone to remember that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Now. So, and I don't know who said it. It might have, I don't know. I don't remember who said it, but somebody was like, these corners are Jesus's corners.
Ooh.
You know, psych! That's the wrong
I tried to go it by faith and I was wrong.
Yeah. Hold on. Which one was it?
Which one? Honestly, most of them are all negative.
That's the same number.
Yeah, they're all negative, bro. They're all negative.
I was like, I know the Lord's gonna be with me.
Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, man. That, you know, just remembering that every corner was Jesus' corner.
Amen.
Dope, man. And we also we did try to sneak into the kids' drag show. That was the benefit. Yeah, no. That was one benefit of taking my boys, is that the fact that they're both under 18.
Hey, hold on.
They checked.
Why?
Why what?
Why'd you try to sneak in there?
So we tried to sneak in there to get some video.
And also to, you know, do evangelism in there. But
yeah,
why couldn't you just go in?
Oh, why did we have to sneak in? Yeah, because they were very adamant that only 18 and under could be in there.
I mean, they checked Junior's ID not to make sure he was 21 and under. No, to make sure he was 18 and under.
Yeah.
They were hesitant to let me in because I look older than I am. And they were like,
and he couldn't prove that he was under 18.
I couldn't prove that I was under 18.
So, and
crazy.
It's super wild, man, because it seemed like, I guess maybe why they were doing it, because there was minors in there. They wanted to control who was going to be in there. But it also makes it sus. Like, if you don't have kids, you can't be in here. So, I don't know,
but also,
man,
they had police in there. So, it's not like...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the goal was to maybe get in there, maybe hand out some gospel tracts and stuff. But it was literally just a drag show. And they were, when we walked in there, they knew why we were there.
They went through our bags and everything. So they saw the extra Bibles and to give away the gospel tracts, everything.
Yeah.
And as soon as we got past, Bubby leans over. He's like, yo, somebody's like, they're watching us. And a lady from the event was standing at the door when we just entered, sitting there watching us.
Yeah, they followed us all the way in there.
Got a funny story about that.
Yeah.
Is it what I think it is?
About the rock?
All right, what happened?
Okay, so check me in. I took out all my stuff. They told me to put it by my chest. And I walked through and the metal detector still went off. And the dude was like super concerned. Like he had this strange like
scared face.
Scared face. And he started patting me down everywhere. And then he reached in my pocket and he feels like my rock in there. And so
that's a whole another story. Yeah.
That's a whole another story.
Why did he carry a rock? But yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
So he felt my rock in there and he's like, what's this? And I'm like, and I gladly say, oh, it's my rock. And he's like, your rock? So I pull my rock and he's just like, and he looks at it. Like,
he was all confused.
He was confused.
Is there a bomb in here?
And yeah, he was just like, well, okay then. Yeah. But I just walked in there and I was waiting for you guys on the other side. And like everybody on the other side was just staring at me.
Bro, they made us take off our GoPro straps. They're like, no recording in there at all. And like Christian said, man, we walked in there. The lady from the event followed us in there and she was just staring at us. It was wild, bro. It was disgusting. Like, this was an 18 and under only. You could only get in as an adult if you had a kid there. And it was a big, I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's just, it is what it is. It was a big fat guy in some tights running around doing the splits.
Yeah, no one.
Like, it's not even a performance, bro. Like, I'm not for drag shows, obviously, but at least like if you're gonna be lip singing, like do a show. Like it's not about singing a song. It's strictly...
you're saying despite everything that disgusting that was going on, it wasn't even a good show.
yeah like it's strictly like, hey, let's desensitize the kids.
Which is exactly why I think that our youth has grown so much to identify with them as LGBTQ, because adults are being irresponsible and not God-fearing and bringing their children to these events.
So I have a quick question, because wasn't it last year you said that they did not allow adults at all? Or like,
yeah, they tried really hard to just drop off your kids and
yeah,
leave your kids with us.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So crazy. Something changed. Something happened, and I guess caused that.
But I was not there at that moment because Ziyech Niloch would have more insight on that.
Yeah,
because they were able to, you know, sneak in there.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of came up that kind of discouraged us for a little bit was the Black Hebrew Israelites. And that was Trevor's favorite group right there.
Trying to work my way up to be a house slave, man. That's my life goal.
What'd y'all think when y'all saw them there? They came out of nowhere.
So real quick, what exactly is Black Hebrew Israelite?
Yeah, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Trevor? Are you looking at me?
I don't know.
Am I the resident expert on Black Hebrew Israelites?
You said that you're going to be one of their slaves.
Are you right? I got this proven time.
Yeah.
Nah, man. So they're a cult, Christian cult. And what I mean is they're not Christians, but they pervert the Christian faith. Basically, they hold to the view that they're descended from the tribe of Judah, right?
What's wrong with you people?
That Black people are God's chosen people. And basically... eschatological, like God's plan of redemption, right, is to restore Israel, to restore Black people, right, for them to reign in the millennium kingdom, right, and basically rule over white people.
And the wild thing is they were out there, they weren't out there, like, so we went out there to share the gospel and to tell everyone there that if they don't repent, put their faith in Christ, they're going to experience God's wrath for eternity. They were out there to tell all white people that get ready to be our slaves.
I mean, it's about time somebody said it. But nah, man, you know, when I saw it, I got super excited. Like, I seen on the group me, like, oh, they're talking to Black Hebrew Israelites. I was like, oh, snap, we were coming back from the house because we had just got some sandwiches. And then, but then I rolled up and Vic was already talking to him. So I was like, well, really much I could do here. I was like, Vic's got it. They wouldn't have talked to me anyways.
Yeah.
I would have tried really hard, but
that's the benefit.
I was like, let me just talk to these people around.
That's the benefit of being Mexican, because they would actually talk to dad. Yeah, they wouldn't talk to any of the other people there.
You're the tribe of like what?
I think they said Ishkar.
Oh,
Ishkar. Ishkar. They said Mexicans are Aztecs and they're Ishkar.
It's wild, crazy,
bro. And it's funny because it was a bunch of white people and he's talking about get ready to be slaves. And like, Johnny came up to me and Johnny was like, I don't know what you said to me. Like, we need to go up there. Or you said something.
I think he said, you need to go up there.
Something like that, right? That's Do you remember what you told me?
I think so. I think I was just hyping you up. I was like, go, bro. you were
choosing me as a, what's it called?
Sacrifice.
No. From Hunger Games. Hunger Games.
Oh, tribute.
Yeah. Johnny's like, you can be tribute.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And you must have said something that I was like, all right, I need to go up there. And I thought you were next to me the whole time, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he looked at me, bro, and he pointed at me. He said, you, where brother, what's your race or something? And I was like, I'm Mexican. And he's like, all right. It was so weird, bro. It was, I'm like, all
right.
And
the dude on the right was just like, all right, brother.
Well, it's because you, right, Trevor, because you're white, like, there's no hope for you.
That's so sad,
but
bro.
But with Victor...
It is sad for me, bro.
No. For real. But with Victor, they see Victor as a lost sheep.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come here and we'll tell you about us.
Yeah. That's...
Shake my head.
Bro, no gospel at all. And it's... No. So, you know, he started talking and giving me his, you know, spiel and all that. And I'm sitting there thinking like, all right, they're out here hyping everybody up. They're going to confuse everybody with the rest of us that are out. It's just two of them. But they're being so loud and they're drawing such a crowd that I felt like, bro, this is going to distract from why we're out here. And I'm engaging with them. And I was so, bro, I have not been out to do any kind of evangelism in like years. Right. So I'm rusty. And I think you even handed me your Bible and I'm like, he's talking and I'm trying to flip through the Bible. And I'm like, what do I do? I didn't even know what to do, bro. And I was like, let me just get him to read scripture. And I'm like, he's got a mic. It is funny because somehow we got to like, hey, I'm like, all right, but read Ephesians, or what does Ephesians say? And he's like, all right, let's go to Ephesians. So he tells his, you know, his buddy, he's like, go to Ephesians. And they just start reading. I'm like, all right, Ephesians 2. And he starts reading Ephesians 2. And then like they got to a point where they looked at me and they're like, how far are we going? I'm like, just keep reading. And it got, you know, eventually they got tired of it. And then that's when the drum lady showed up. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long I was there, bro. But eventually the drum lady showed up and then it just got wild. And my man Cody came up from behind me and Junior and Christian were, you know, behind us talking to somebody. Cody came up and was like, yeah, I think we need to move. And I just cut the conversation. And it's funny because I said, hey, man, I got to go. I'll be back. And then I asked them, hey, how long y'all going to be out here? And they said, man, we're going to be out here all day and all night. And next thing I know, they were gone.
they were gone, scattered.
Bro. Yeah,
all day,
yeah.
All night.
Somebody wasn't filled in the spirit.
By myself.
Yeah, man. But that was, y'all have any thoughts on the Black Hebrew Israelite stuff?
Well, it's crazy because I was telling a brother, he's a ex-Black Hebrew Israelite, and I was telling him about them. And he's like, what? That's crazy because they don't usually do that. You don't see them going out to these places. So he thought it was very interesting that these two guys were out there doing what they're doing. And then, you know, I told them about whenever I was challenged them about Abraham, because I was like, all right, these guys say that there's no hope for the white people, only these people, one of the 12 tribes. So I was like, all right, let's talk about Abraham, because can't say he was an Israelite.
Yeah.
So I started asking him about Abraham and I'm like, all right, so
that's a good one.
So what about Abraham? Do you believe Abraham is saved? And they were like, yes, he is. And they start flipping through where it talks about Abraham was taken out of this land and went over here. I'm like, right, so he wasn't an Israelite. No, God made him into a nation. I was like, all right. And then I was like, how was Abraham saved? That's when he was like, that's crazy that he will say that, or that they responded that Abraham believed and that was what saved him. Because they flipped to the New Testament. I think it was Hebrews that they went to and talked about Abraham believing to him what was counted as righteousness.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, so can anyone be saved by faith?
Yeah.
So now, it wasn't really me trying to do a gotcha, but it was almost like it was a gotcha because
I mean, it was exposing their inconsistency.
It messes up with what their belief is, because if they were to say that no, only the Israelites can be saved, the 12 tribes, I can point back to what they just agreed with me about Abraham not being a part of this one of the 12 tribes.
Yeah.
And then if that wasn't it, and then I asked them, okay, so because of that, can anyone be saved? And how can they be saved? Do you have to be an Israelite or not? Because if you say you do, then you kind of, what do you do with Abraham?
Yeah.
And if they say no by faith, well, there goes your beliefs.
Yeah. I was just so surprised to see them out there, man. I would agree with your brother from your church, man. Like, why are they out there?
Yeah.
Because they weren't interested in sharing the gospel. And you know, if you look at the demographics of the area we were in, it's mainly white people up there. You know what I mean? Like, so
basically a jar of mayonnaise. Miracle Whip.
I mean, it'd be another thing if you it'd be another thing if you knew the demographics of the area you're going into, mainly minorities, and that's who you're preaching the gospel to. Like, I get it, but you knew you weren't going up to share the gospel. So it was wild. It was wild for us to see them up there.
Hey, what'd y'all think about the hymn singing?
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was fire, bro. You know, because that was the first time. It didn't get too crazy, but that there was, like, more hostility from the crowd.
Yeah.
And, the more that happened and the more just see the behavior and just really the hopelessness, right? Yeah. Like, it was sad in an extent. But then I would look around and see my brothers filled with joy, right? Like, the more hostile they got, the more aware of God's smile, like, I was.
Yeah.
Like, it was probably... probably the most worshipful time of singing I probably ever had.
Right. Like, you ain't lying, bro.
I was so aware that, like, bro, I'm singing to God for His glory, and, like, that's it. You know what I mean?
I would say, honestly, amen. like being a believer, there's nothing manlier than, like, being able to sing hymns with brothers. You know, just being able to just all together as one. And we didn't start that good, not gonna lie. And it was a little rough.
You must have never killed a lion with your bare hands.
But... you know, but the more, kind of like what you said, Trevor, and I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that was almost like a feeling everyone got. The more we started singing, especially after the train, because a train was coming at that point, was making it loud, and it was passing by, so the parade had to stop. So everyone's just kind of standing there, and then we're singing out loud, and that's when people started to recognize and face us. You know, I couldn't help but, I didn't care who was in our faces trying to yell at us. I didn't. At that point, kind of like what you said, all I can think of is I'm worshiping.
I felt like it gave me more power, bro.
Yeah,
the more upset they got, the more all like.
Yeah, it was. It just made me want to sing louder because it's like at this point I'm singing to the Lord. You know, my God.
I know while we were out there, there was like a small, like, I don't know, 10 seconds to where like no, like you couldn't hear anything except for us.
Yeah, and it brought tears to me. Like, I started getting emotional, being like, man, these people are lost. They need Christ. Thinking about earlier, I evangelized to someone that I met there who I knew from elementary, and I didn't even share the gospel with them. He just came up to me, started talking to me, poured out his whole life story, his depression and all. And I could see the hopelessness in him, kind of like, you know, what we were saying. And it's just like, these people, they need Christ. They absolutely need him. And I couldn't help but tear up because it's just like, we're singing to the Lord, and I hope someone around here would be able to hear and just plant that seed and be like, why are they doing this? Why are they out here? And just be able to bring up that curiosity. But
especially when we were singing Come Ye Sinners, bro.
Yeah.
That song, like, all the songs were fire.
Yeah.
But when we were singing that song, I felt like it was like a verbal way of me trying to reach out and grab them, you know?
Yeah.
And, oh, man.
But it was awesome.
Man, what I thought, on top of all of that, what I was thinking as we were leaving by is that that's what it's going to be like in heaven when we're all worshiping the Lord, but by the thousands, by the 100,000, by the millions of all believers.
By the post-millions.
Just together in unison.
Yeah.
Perfect harmony. And it's
beautiful.
Anybody else have anything on the hymn sing?
Johnny? I would just say it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, like, how many times are you able to gather with just men and sing hymns to the glory of God?
Mm.
Like, bro, there was something about it because we weren't doing anything yet and no one was really like messing with us.
Yeah.
It was until we started singing, they turned their heads and looked at us.
It was a war cry.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, there's something about singing. God made us a singing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. the Psalms. I'm learning about the Psalms in seminary, and just learning about the Psalms and, you know, in general, it's the largest book in the Bible. It's the one with the most chapters. It's the only book that's compiled of five books. So it's five books in one. So it's a volume. And just the word of God is God-breathed, right?
Yeah.
God's word is given to us to grow us into the knowledge of Christ. The Psalms is God's word to us to give back to him. So the Psalms is our songs.
Yo, that's dope, man.
You should be a pastor.
I'm learning this from somebody else. But that is super dope, but bro. That really put into perspective like the importance of singing the Psalms. But singing to the glory of God, like there's something about singing.
Yeah.
And God made us a singing people. He rejoices over us. Like, like that's crazy. He sings over us, it says in scripture. Bro, can you imagine God singing or hearing the Lord singing? Like it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I will say that I was super convicted going to church the next day, man.
Yeah.
Because I was singing my heart out on Saturday, and then I went to the church the next day, and I was like, I better be singing the same. You know, I better be singing the same. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, you know, last week and today, man, I was like, I'm singing loud as I can, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was a good sign that my voice was gone by the end of the day. I don't know why y'all's didn't disappear, but mine was just completely gone by the end. Like, we were in the car. I don't say squat.
Man, because you were leading us, bro. Mm-hmm. That was dope. Mm-hmm.
Even though you messed it up at the beginning.
Even though I messed it up at the beginning.
Bro, that's irrelevant.
It's all good. Fix it.
Yeah, man.
I mean, really, to wrap it up, one of the last things that we did there was we actually divided up into small groups and actually started, you know, some of the men started street preaching. Yeah. I mean, Trevor, how do you feel like that went?
I mean, that was my first time ever street preaching. And it was only because of God's providence, because Colo's voice went out and I was like, man, I can't let my brother just struggle up there. But,
bro, that was awesome, honestly. Like, just being able to, because I felt the same looking over at Colo. I'm like, man, I feel bad because I could tell that's one of the things he was excited about. But to be able to be like, you just kind of be like tag teaming, like, hey, brother, I got you, and just jump up there.
That's exactly what happened on our corner, because Johnny was up there and he had a little microphone, but it wasn't very loud. But he was stressing his voice, and I think you ended up saying, like, bro, I can't go anymore because of my voice. And I was like, jump up there. And all I did was just read the scripture.
Read the scripture with a little bit of interpretation.
Every once in a while.
And praise God for that providence, because out in the corner, like, as soon as I stepped down, maybe 2 minutes later, I think it's Lido that came up to me. He's like, hey, bro, brother Gabe is talking to somebody, and there's like a couple or three people talking to Gabe, and it almost seemed like they were
ganging up on him.
So he's like, hey, brother, can you go over there and just make sure everything good over there? So it was out of God's providence that happened to me so that I could, you know, be on the side of and just help out if he needed any help. So we did have fruitful conversations at this event.
I think that's important to point out, bro, because a lot of people, a lot of believers might think, like, y'all just went up there to cause a, you know, scene. But, like, there was so many fruitful conversations throughout the whole day, bro. I was surprised with how willing a lot of the people there, because we're talking about people who are seen on TV, social media as being hostile to Christians, which they are, but there's still a lot that are willing to have the conversation. Just a simple, like, hey, here's a gospel track. And then when they stop and they look at it, I'll be like, hey, do you have a Christian background? Or for the Pride Parade, right? It's, hey, what is love? Like, all those kind of questions, like, were super helpful. And I easily had 3 or 4 20, 30 minute conversations with people. Yeah. And during the street preaching, I think it was very fruitful, because I don't think I didn't see a single corner that didn't have a long conversation with multiple people.
Yeah, bro. That was, speaking of God's providence, like, while I was up there, you know, you got a vantage point, you can see more going on, and amen to what you said. And then also, like, there were people that could hear them making fun of me, but they sat there the whole time heard all of it. Like, they'd never left.
Dang.
And then there's a lady recording the whole time. And I'm thinking, I'm like, post it everywhere.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I got down to get a drink of water, went back up. Then I got down again, I think, to get another drink of water or something. I was getting tired. And then this dude just came up to me and, like, threw me, like, the biggest gospel softball I ever got in my life. Like, he was like, you know, I like to keep an open mind, and even though I disagree with people, you know, I think it's good to understand where people are coming from. So he was like, man, you know, people, like, aren't going to receive y'all well, don't like y'all out here. He's like, why are you out here? I was like, bro. I was like, man, because I was like, I can give you a short answer or a long answer. I was like, man, the short answer is like, bro, I love you. And like, I believe like Jesus really is Lord. I believe hell is real. Like, it was just a short answer. But you could tell, man, the spirit was moving in him because he asked me another quick question. And then I answered that. And then he was just like, man, I forgot what else I was going to ask. And then he just stood there for a second and just stood there and waited for me.
Wow.
And didn't leave. And so then I like had a longer, like we talked for like another 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I did also have a lady that came up and she was yelling. She's like,
the one that was calling you gay?
No, no, no. That was a different lady. There was a lady that came up and she was like, so you think, so you hate gays? I think that's what she said. And I was like, no, ma'am, we hate all sin. Or something like that. I don't remember the exact words. But it's funny how, like, even in their own rude way, they were still interacting.
Yeah.
And it still gave opportunity for conversation. Man.
I feel so outed, like, or not outed, but I don't know if you remember this, Trevor, but at one point when Cole was up there, like, preaching and stuff like that, some guy came over. He was drunk out of his mind. And he was like, hey, listen. You know, I'm a Republican. He's just like, listen, I'm out here in secret. Just I agree with everything you guys were saying. It was so weird. And I was like, okay, well, and I tried to preach the gospel to him. And then all of a sudden, some other guy just comes out of nowhere, like yelling at. And then he starts looking at the guy that's saying I'm a Republican, another guy, and they start like attacking him, yelling at him and stuff like that. And they're arguing, going back and forth with each other. I'm like, I look over at Trevor. I'm like, bro, shouldn't that be us? And then before you know it, the guy that's like claiming he's like in secret Republican, he's like, listen, guys, I'm just here. You know, I'm not part of them. I agree with everything. I love pride and all. I'm just here because I was trying to talk to them. Like, wait, who are the people street preaching? And then they all just face us, like Trevor and I were just there like hi. And then they started like talking about it, and then they just disappeared. It's just like,
oh no, I remember. And there was a Hispanic dude with the drink in his head. Yeah, I was trying to talk to them, and like they kept talking to each other. They wouldn't talk to me. I was like hey bro, like I got something to say. Like over here. That was so weird. I forgot all about that, bro.
But it's so what's crazy about it's they're so confused. They didn't even know who they were like trying to argue with.
It's so wild to see the people that we ran into out there. You had the Satanist. Yeah, I guess apparently
Alex Jones. That's how he made him sound.
No, but one thing that what I loved about it is how much, like, I feel like a lot of us were nervous, like, what are we gonna say? But how it's beautiful how God works through the Holy Spirit. Because there were so many times where someone would ask something or say something, and like just all of a sudden we'd be able to respond. Like there's some Satanist guy that was walking by and he was like, "Hail Satan!" And I don't even know what got into me. And I'm like, "The gates of hell will not prevail." And it was just like, I'm like, where did that come from?
and that brings us kind of towards the end of it right there. And it's funny. I don't know which one of my boys mentioned this, but we're talking about how joyful we were walking back to the cars, bro.
Yeah.
It was like this natural high. It was the Holy Spirit working in us, you know, but trying to describe it, you know.
In worldly terms.
it was just, I can see how the apostles were like stoned and then rejoiced. They're like, oh, I'll be back tomorrow. You know, like it was super encouraging enough to where I'm like, you know what? I need to be out here. You know, the next time there's an opportunity, I need to be out here. Mm-hmm. You know, for sure, man.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear what one guy said to the guy that I was with. We were walking and then some guy like was passing him and looked at him like for a long second while we were passing him, like, you again? And then Colleen's just like, that guy, you know, I don't know if you saw the videos, but he was at the Pride Parade last year and he was the one who was twerking on me, you know, like while he was preaching. And he's just like, I don't know why that brought a big smile to my face to hear him say, you again? Like, yeah, I'm back. I'm back and I'm here to share the gospel again. Like, that's what I want to hear.
Facts. Know? Big.
Not the twerking part, but the.
Yeah, for sure, man. Naturally. Hey, clap it up for Johnny and Trevor, man. Clap it up. You know, that when we first came up with the idea of having this subcast, you know, just the guys and, you know, the out of the cave stuff, we said like, all right, we need to start rotating our brothers in here, you know. And so I appreciate y'all being here, man. And hopefully this is not the last time. But they're about to get tested, see if they've been listening to the other podcast right now. Because we're about to do the outro. Right before we do that.
That way I do y'all's little hustle hard.
Yeah. We'll see if y'all know it.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
we've been having a lot of people listening, so we got to start promoting our social media.
Yeah, yeah, we do. You go ahead, man.
I don't even know what it was. social media.
Natalie did the same thing.
We noticed that there's been an increase of listeners. We thank you, and we really do appreciate it, and it does encourage us. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and also on Twitter at DaFamCast.
DaFamCast.
Yeah, and also if you guys have any questions, you know, by all means, we would love to be able to answer anything you guys have. We do also have an email. Shoot your questions that way. It's also dafamcast@gmail.com. We would love to be able to hopefully have a follow-up, you know, Q&A session, you know, one day. That'd be really awesome to hear from our listeners and all. So
that'd be dope, man. One of these days we'll go live. We'll start doing some video stuff.
Hey.
That'd be dope, man. So yeah, hey, thanks for joining us. We did go a little long, but it's all good, man. It was a good conversation. Super edifying to have our brothers here, man. So till next time.
Seek Christ.
Also hard.
Amen.
Thing, glorify God in all things.
It's, no, it's reach, teach, glorify God in all things.
Yeah, I usually cut it off at the.
You're like, bro, this is weird.
Till next time.
Seek Christ.
Hustle hard.
Reach,
teach, glorify God in all things.
Let's go.
Psych. That's the wrong number.
Welcome to the FamCast freestyle session. Hit the beat.
What we got?
Get it done.
Off the top, what we got? That's preaching against orientation. Taking the gospel out, hope we sell salvation. Taking it to every nation. Hey, sin obliteration, killing the sin. I'm back again. I'm next to one of my friends. And Jonathan is on my left. Christ is Lord. Jesus is the best. Hey,
yo, that's gotta go.
Hard.
Christian, what you got, bro?
I'm about to end this man's whole career.
What career?
But I'm not a rapper.
Get it done.
I got lines like a Disney ride. What? Member of the church, that's the father's bride. The servant of the Lord, church. That's the father's side. Now I'm here to spit about this month of lies. How we dedicate the month of June to celebrating sin. Here we circulate the trash instead of throwing in the bin. Now I got a little idea, giving garbage props a spin. Bet I'll serve this little platter with some manner in a grin. Yeah.
Hey. I got.
That's crazy. Hey,
play a partner, who is you?
Freestyle. Yeah, they call me, I'm lyrical.
Hey.
You know what? I am so spiritual. I was like, all right, let's get it. Everybody wants to know what's up. Let me hit it. Let me go it one time, two time, three time. I was like, yeah, that's, I don't know why. Yeah, I'm not playing.
¿Por qué?
Check it. Let's wreck it like Ralph. Spit it out the mouth. I was like,
fuck up.
Yeah, this part two. Call it the sequel. Oh. Talking about my Lord, there is no equal. Surrounded with my brothers, yeah, I'm with my people. Take this church out the steeple and take it to the block. I'ma tell you about the rock. I'ma tell you about Jesus. He's the one you need to believe in and receive salvation to get the eternal life. The only way to go is Christ.
Come on, pause.
Give me stop.
That's crazy.
Jonathan!
Lift up the name of the true king. Jesus is risen from the grave. Lift up the name of the true king. Jesus is risen from the grave.
Resurrection!
God took on flesh and walked in his creation. Gathered disciples to preach to all the nations. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. So they preach with all boldness with the spirit that gives light.
Listen.
Yeah. Lift up the name of the true king.
Up high.
Jesus is risen from the grave.
Up high.
Lift up the name of true king.
Up high.
Jesus is risen from the grave.
Resurrection!
Go therefore. Oh, man.
That's all good.
Man, those ad-libs kind of caught me off guard.
I know. I always throw everyone off with them, bro.
Go, therefore, is what Jesus commanded. Matthew 28 is what he demanded. He would be there till the end of the age. Trials will come, but let that test your faith.
Hey.
Yeah. Lift up the name of true king.
Up high.
Jesus
up
risen
high.
From the grave.
Up high.
Lift
up
the name of
up high.
Okay. Resurrection! Okay.
This is the way.
Play
quiet, partner. Who is you?
Juan.
That's crazy. Don't be playing these hating games. Being gay and woke won't get you any fame. Dressing up, acting, being fake is lame. Boom. How you gonna drag your kids to pride insane?
Nasty.
That's it. That's all I got.
Because you'd be in jail.
Get it done.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh, just a child.
But you know what it is, gotta go off the dome. Shout out to the martyrs that were thrown off the dome. Oh. James and the apostles, hey, out at the parade, they was hostile, but they still got that gospel. Oh.
No. That's crazy. Oh, no.
Bro, I know you wrote all that before you came over. Ain't no way you freestyle that. Hey, man. Ain't no way.
Straight off the head, hot off the head like a fever. Used to have a haircut like I was Bieber. And that was before I was a believer.
You and Owen Strand gotta go head to head.
What the heck?
How are you gonna get Owen?